Okay. We're starting today, Kaf Amubet on the Mishnah. Okay, let's just go through very briefly the things we started yesterday from the Mishnah. Chomer b'kodesh mibitruma. Okay, today I made a list. Okay, you can see there's 11 things we're going to discuss later. Are there really 11? Is it possible they're considered 10? There's a machloket about that. But right now we'll assume there are 11. Chomer b'kodesh mibitruma matbilim kelim b'toch kelim l'truma avalo l'kodesh. If you put one kli inside another kli, so then it's considered a chatzitza. Okay? Or at least that's the assumption right now. We're going to see maybe that's not the real problem. But the assumption is that one kli is touching the other kli, and therefore when they go in, they're not fully surrounded by water. We'll get into that right away in the Gemara. Achorayim v'tochu beit ha-tzvita b'truma avalo b'kodesh. These are the parts that we said the outside, the inside, and possibly the handle, we'll see when we get to the Gemara, are considered separate parts of the kli. And therefore, if one is tameh, one becomes tameh, the other parts don't become tameh when it comes to truma, but when it comes to kodesh, if one of them gets tameh, the whole entire kli is tameh. Hanoseh ta midras, noseh ta truma, avaloh ta kodesh. Okay, this was if you're carrying a midras, you're carrying like a shoe of a zav, as Rashi points out, and at the same time you're carrying truma in your other hand. So do we say that that's a problem, right? And this is in the case where we're holding a chavit with truma, because the assumption is it's a kli cheres, and a kli cheres, if you're touching the outside of the kli, the inside of the kli does not become tameh. But if you're doing it at the same time that you're holding this midras, does that make you at a higher level? And yes, for kodesh, you know, it is going to be metameh what's inside the kli for kodesh, but not for truma.
So it depends on what the content is of the kli.
It depends on what the kli is made up of. If it's a matechet or eitz, then the truma goes inside. Okay? And if it's cheres, then it doesn't. So if you're touching the outside of the kli, no, for kodesh it does. For kodesh, no matter what, it goes through. It doesn't matter what the kli is made out of.
It matters what's inside the kli, right?
What do you mean, what's inside the kli? What's inside the kli is going to become tameh. Oh, you mean if it's kodesh
in
the kli?
Yes,
if it's kodesh in the kli, then it will become tameh.
So
if it's not kodesh in the kli,
by what it is,
yeah, by whether it's kodesh or whether it's truma. Yes. Okay, next one. Bigdei ochlei truma midras lekodesh. Remember that was if you wash your clothes so they don't get tameh on a truma level, because you eat truma generally. It is considered problematic that maybe somebody sat on it if you want to use it for kodeshim. Because that's because we keep a higher level if we're going to be careful about kodeshim. Lo kemidata kodesh midata truma. Sheba kodesh matir. This is a weird sentence, by the way. Lo kemidata kodesh midata truma. The level of kodesh is not like the level of truma. What do you mean? The whole thing. This whole Mishnah is basically saying that. That's a very strange line. Possibly you could say that this Mishnah is made up of two sources stuck together, and that the lashon of that source that was put together with this still remains. Lo kemidata kodesh midata truma, sheba kodesh matir umangiv umatbil, v'achar kach kosher, v'truma kosher, v'achar kach matbil. Okay, this is, I think, where we ended yesterday, about the chatzitza. If you tie a knot, you have a knot tied in this baguette, so that's going to be a problem when it comes to kodesh. We're going to consider it a chatzitza, and therefore you have to untie the knot, dry it so that the water doesn't create a chatzitza either. Though some people say the drying has to do with something else also, but we'll leave it as that it's a chatzitza, the water, and then your matbil. And afterwards you can retie it. And in truma, you can even tie it from the milachatchila, right? If you want to tie it and then tovel it, no problem. Some people say, I read something about that, some people say your daf is supposed to tie it. I don't remember what the reason is. In other words, they read this as you're supposed to tie it before. I forget what the reason is. Maybe we'll get to it in the Gemara. I don't remember. Okay. Kelim hanigmarim b'tahara tzrichin tefila lekodesh avalo l'truma. Okay. We talked about this before, that let's say for a beged it has to be three etzba'ot before it can contract truma. So let's say you made a kli, and all the while you were making this kli, you made sure that everything was tahor, even though it's not makabel tuma yet, right? It's not ra'oy for tuma. So you were very careful, but no matter what, even though you were very careful, so for truma you don't need to tovel it again, but for kodesh you need to tovel it anyway. There's this issue of toveling it even before using it, even if everything was done b'tahara. We'll see in the Gemara why this is. If you look in Rashi, he says the same thing. He says, "Begamar mafarish tama." We're going to get to this later. Akli mitzaref masha b'tochol lekodesh, aval lo l'truma. Okay, what does this mean? If you have a kli with a bunch of different things inside it, and one becomes tameh, the others don't become tameh. Now, while it's true that if what's in the kli becomes a sheni, because remember we said, right, let's say the avatuma is metameh kli, the kli becomes a rishon. Inside this kli, we then put fruit, right? This fruit becomes a sheni. Now, for a truma, we could also have shlishi. So let's say you have a basket. Again, I meant to do this, but I forgot to bring. Anyway, you have a basket. You have some fruits in it. So the one that becomes tameh, let's say just one became tameh bimikre, somebody touched it or something. Right, no. So the kli wouldn't be tameh. It would be a different case. It would be that maybe it was in a different kli that was tameh, and now we're going to move it into this kli. This, so obviously you can't make the kli tameh because it's a sheni. It could make the fruit that touches it next to it could become a shlishi, but only if it's touching it. If it's not touching it, then nothing in the kli is. You just happen to have one fruit, tameh, in this basket full of tahor fruit. Okay, and it would only make the one it touched a shlishi. And then the one that touches would be nothing because it would be a revi, and we're talking about truma, so it's not an issue.
So not that they had plastic bags, but if it were
in a plastic bag and it wasn't touching, I think it would be fine. Right. I assume that you can only do it by touching. The bag can't be makabel tuma.
Right, but there's no other way to separate one fruit in a basket than a bump.
Not necessarily. First of all, you could have a huge basket.
Maybe.
Right? So only if it touches it does it become a shlishi, and a problem for truma. But if it's kodshim in there, let's say you have a basket full of steaks, okay? One steak is a problem, all the steaks are a problem. Whether they touch or not, it's irrelevant. We make a work machmir and make them all tummy. Hakli mitzera, that's that one. Okay, harubi'i b'kodesh posel v'ashlishi b'truma. This is what we know already, that there's four levels in kodshim and there's only three in truma. Ubetruma im nitmet achav miyadav chaverta tahora. If you touch something with one hand, your other hand is tahor. Ubekodesh matbil shnehem. Shaya mitameh chaverta b'kodesh avalo b'truma. Okay, so again, your hand, your other hand for kodesh is going to be assumed. It's almost, we talked about this before, that midoraita, when you're tameh, your whole body, just because you touch it with your hand, it makes your whole body tameh. So with yadayim, we were gozer just on yadayim, but now it's interesting, what does it mean yadayim? One hand affects the other hand or not? So it depends whether it's kodesh or truma. Ochlim niguvim biyadayim misoavot b'truma, aval lo b'kodesh. If you have ochlim niguvim, what does that mean? They're dried, which really means, in this case, they never came in contact with water. Okay, we've discussed this, that let's say you have fruits, okay? So maybe it'll rain, right, and my fruits will get touched with water, but they're still attached to the tree. Only once you remove the fruit from the tree, when it's talush, then we have this issue, it has to come in contact with water, because otherwise everything would be in contact with water, any crops, because there's always water, you need to water them, how else do they grow? Or there's rain. So what it means is from the moment that you detach it from the ground or from the tree, at that point, it has to come in contact with water in order to be what we call mukshar lekabel tuma. In order for it to be able to contract tuma, it has to have water or one of the sheva mashkin, okay? Yad shachat dam, yain dam, shemen, mem is maim, tet is tal, dew. Okay, and then Yad Shachat Dam, Dalet is Dvash, and Mem is, I know I was going to forget one. Yad Shachat Dam, right? Mem is Mayim. How did I, I said Dal Yad Shachat Dam, Yain Dam, Shin is Shemen, Shachat. I skipped the Chet. Chet is Chalav. Okay, so those are the Sheva Mashkin. So now, if none of them ever came in contact, it can't be makabel truma, tuma. So what do you say here? Betruma, you're allowed to touch it if your hands are tmeim. You're allowed. It's fascinating, right? In the end, you have yadayim tmeim. You can eat truma because the truma is not mukshar lekabel truma because it never came in contact with any of the seven mashkim. Aval lo b'kodesh, but b'kodesh, if your hands are problematic, then you have to clean them. Okay, this obviously means when your hands are shniim, right? Shniot, the tumor. Like yadayim maskaniot, like we said, we always assume your hands are problematic. Last case. Ha'onen u'mechusar kipurim tzrichin tefila l'kodesh avalo l'truma. Okay. These are two people. Okay, the onen is someone who's not allowed to do korbanot or anything. He can't do anything with kodesh when he's an onen. That means when a person dies, one of the people that you're karov to, that you sit shiva for, that you're supposed to, the idea is that you're supposed to be dealing with the burial. And since you're dealing with the burial, you're a pator from mitzvot, and you also can't deal with kodashim. So now, the question is, when you're finished with onen, do you have to do tefillah in order to say, okay, my aninut is over? What really is going on here, certainly according to something I was reading about this, that both the onen and the mechusar kippurim, which we'll get to in a minute, there's no time limit exactly. It's not clear when this period ends necessarily. And because of that, so the onen, in theory, ends when the person is buried, but not necessarily. Like, if all the stuff is dealt with before the burial, then in theory, your aninu could be over. Mm-hmm. So that's one possibility of looking at these, that there's your... obviously, the onen, by the way, is if he's not nitma lameit. If he's nitma lameit, then obviously he has a separate problem. He obviously needs tefillah. This is a case where he was dealing with the dead body, but he wasn't physically dealing with it, and he wasn't nitma lameit. He wasn't in the house when the person died. Okay, the mechusar kippurim is someone who, when in certain situations, you need to count 7 days, like the nazir and the zav and the zava. You count 7 days, then you bring your korban the 8th day. We learned about this already. That he's mechusar kippurim. It means he can't yet. He's not finished until he brings the korban. Now, while it's true, you're allowed to bring the korban on the 8th day, you don't necessarily have to bring it on the 8th day. You could bring it later on. So even though he toveled on day number 7, he goes to the mikvah on the morning of the 7th. He waits for Harav Shemesh to be tahor. He's tahor now. But he's not completely tahor because he's missing this last step. And that's why it's called mechusar. He's missing the kippurim, the kapara that comes from the korban. So because of that, he is now... so both these people, the question is, do they need an additional, for the mechusar kippurim, an additional tefillah, because he already toveled on the 7th, to allow him... So both those people in those stages are not allowed to deal with kodeshim at all. So do you need some moment, some physical act to switch over to say, okay, now I can deal with kodeshim? Okay, so for kodeshim, yes. For truma, you don't need it. Okay? Okay, now we get to the Gemara. But we're starting back with case number 1. Matzvilim kelim b'toch kelim l'truma avalo l'kodesh. So b'kodesh my time alo, why not? Amar Rabbi Ila, now what we're going to see is 2 different reasons. First we're going to deal with the first one, eventually we'll get to the second one. Amar Rabbi Ila mipnei shekvedo shel kli chotzetz, the weight of the kli, I would even think to call this gravity. Gravity is pulling that kli down to the other kli. So what happens? Gravity is pulling right the inner kli onto the upper, onto the bottom kli. So now what happens? Onto the outer kli. So because it's pushing down, it's not letting the water get in between the 2 kelim. Okay, certain things come up here. I saw something about if you are handicapped, right? And nowadays they have better facilities for handicapped mikvah. But in those days, right, what would they do? So in theory, you could like put someone on a sheet and lie them down and lower them down into the mikvah. But some of them first say, but wait, there's a chatzitza, because kovdosho kli, the weight of the person, is going to create a chatzitza in between the sheet and the person, and maybe that this would be an issue there.
Rachel and I were talking about it as we left yesterday, and she said when she brings stuff to be toveled before Pesach, she gives them a whole mesh bag full of stuff and they dunk it.
Yeah.
And I said when I do it at home, I put one thing in the bag at a time. She said, why wasn't it a problem if she had a whole bag full of stuff that they put in at once?
This is koshering, not mikvah, right?
Yes.
Right.
We didn't know that was one of the questions.
Right, that's a good question. Is koshering the same as... Right. I think the assumption is that the water gets all around.
I said, yeah, they must bump around in the water.
Right.
Nothing comes out.
Exactly. But this is saying, right. So the question is that considered a kli inside a kli? Is it the same kind of thing, like throwing, what kind of things? Is it silverware more so, no?
Silverware.
Right. Silverware, which I don't know, it doesn't fit inside the other as much, although they do pile on top of each other. It's true. Right. It could be, it's somewhat of a problem. Right. I mean, I make sure when I do it that I drop them in individually. They might all pile up on top of each other, but as I drop them in, at least it's individual.
I
so that
one at a time and then take it out.
Oh,
it's
I don't
forever.
Do one at a time, no. I throw them in, but I do... I also leave them in, assuming also that it gets around. But I think I put them in more one at a time so that they get through. I don't think you need to go that far to... Although it's a good question that would come out from here. You know, how do they do that in those big places when they stick the whole sal in and the stuff is in there? Right, I mean, clearly there is a way to tovel stuff one inside. We're going to see here that this isn't necessarily the problem, okay? This right now, this opinion says it's a chatzitza, but we're going to see that there's another opinion, right? The question is, halacha lamasa, what are we paskin? And this is a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Here. Okay. So, if you know what the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah is, this is a good problem. We have a short daf. We can spend time doing some other things. So the Ein Mishpat Ner Mitzvah is this thing at the very top of your page, which tells you there's none on Kaf Aleph Amud Aleph. It tells you where you can find halacha in the Rambam, in the Smag, which is the Sefer Mitzvot Gedolot, in the Torah, and in the Shulchan Aruch on this. So usually when there's a machloket, the note is the letter that sends you over to there, that little aleph. It's three lines from the bottom of Kaf Aleph Amud Bet. It's the letter appears by the opinion that we paskin like. So I can't promise you 100%, but it seems to me that we don't paskin this way. So that would solve your problem. Then you wouldn't, this wouldn't be the issue. Okay. Anyway, it's a good thing to look up. So now they say that's the issue. It's chotzeitz. Now they say, wait, but this seems strange. Mi d'seifa mishum chatzitza, reisha lav mishum chatzitza. Look at case number one, and look at case number five, right? Do you remember case number five with the knot that we made? You made the knot, and you have to untie the knot because of chatzitza? So case number five is chatzitza. So how could case number one also be a chatzitza problem? Okay, that's going to be our first question. Dekatane seifa v'lo kemidata kodesh midata truma shebekodesh matiru mangivu matbil v'achar kach kosher u'betruma kosher v'achar kach matbil. So what do they say? No problem. Reisha v'seifa mishum chatzitza u'tzricha. They're both mishum chatzitza. But what? You need both cases. Why do you need both cases? Because each is different, and if you only have one, you might have thought that the other one would be okay. Now, obviously, we have a bit of a problem here because if they are both Mishum Chatzitza, then at least you would have had number one and number two, right? It's a little strange that it ends up at number five. Again, you could say, especially going back to what I said earlier, if you look literarily at the Mishnah, so Lo Kemidata Kodesh Midata Truma, it almost sounds like it's a different section. Like maybe from Rabbi Yehuda Nasi put together the Mishnah. How was he Orech the Mishnah, right? Today, again, we have time to get into other things. What he did was he took kvatzim that existed or recitation. People would recite them baal peh, and he kind of put, oh, let's take this unit and put it with this unit and match this up and that. It wasn't like he started writing from the beginning and said, let me write things in an organized fashion. So it's very likely that there was 1 through 4, and then there was 5 through 11, or who knows, maybe there were 3 kvatzim, I don't know. And then he just kind of took that kovetz. Also remember, they all memorized it, so he wanted to keep it with the way they were memorizing it. Okay, the perfect proofs of this are the beginning of Megillah, where there's all these mishnayot, ein bein this or that, except this. Ein bein, they have nothing to do with Megillah, right? It starts out with ein bein adar rishon ladar sheni, and then it goes to Shabbat v'yom tov, it goes to mudar hana'ah, the, you know, all sorts of things. Or the beginning of Masechet Kiddushim, which you'll all love, which is, you know, ha'isha nikneh b'shlosha drachim, and then ha'behema nikneh, then ha'eved nikneh, and, you know, putting the women up there with the animals and the slaves. So it's just that's how they memorized it. You know, they kept things together that were similar, that had similar structures. So it's definitely possible that that's what went on in this mission here. Okay, so now they say, so no problem, they're both mishum chatzitza u'tzricha. Why do you need them both?
If you'd done them in the other order, it would have been 1 through 5 and then 6 through 8 and 5 and 6. 1 would have turned into 6 and it would have been beretza.
I didn't follow. What?
If you'd done it in the other order, then those two.
What other order?
Instead of 1 and 5 being separate, if 1 through 4 was 1 kovetz and that had gone second. Oh, never mind, it doesn't matter.
Right, no, because then 5 through, it still would have been broken, right. And it could be he didn't have a need to keep them separate. First of all, we're going to see that maybe it's not even chatzitza, so we don't even know what Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was thinking. We don't know what he held, right? What he thought the issue was. But anyway, assuming that they're both mishum chatzitza, we do have these cases. Why they're separated, we don't really know. But you need them both. Why? De'iash me'inam reisha, hava minu hainu tama de'lekodesh lo mishum kvedo shel kli de'ika. In the case of the knot, there's no weight bearing down. You wouldn't say a knot is so heavy. Yeah, it has a little bit of weight, but it's not like the weight of a kli bearing down. So you might have thought, just in the first case, when the weight of the kli bears down, that creates a chatzitza. But in the case of a knot, the water can still get through. There's no weight pushing down that's preventing the water from getting there. No problem. And therefore, it needs to teach us that case too. And what if you just taught us the case of the the knot. Hav amina hainu tama de lekodesh lo mishum de kitra b'maya ahaduke mehadek avaresha de maya akfuye makfule lemana lo havi chatzitza. And therefore tzrika. So what does this all mean? Kitra is a kesher, and ahu ahaduke mehadek is it's mitadek, it sticks together, right? Like a mehadek is a stapler. So what might you have thought? In the case of the knot, what happens to a knot when it goes in the water? We're assuming, by the way, we didn't talk about this, but we're assuming that this knot is very loosely tied. What happens is when the knot gets in the water, it sticks more together, right? The water almost makes it sticky, and it sticks together, and it's going to make it much tighter. And therefore, it's going to become more of a chatzitza. But when you have two kelim, one inside the other, what's going to happen? The water is going to get, like we talked about, the water eventually is going to seep all around, even though the pressure, I was thinking about it, this whole thing of gravity, in the water, gravity doesn't exactly work, it actually separates them more. And that's what they're saying here, that you might have thought that since eventually the water is going to come in between the two kelim and it's going to get all around, that that would be okay. And therefore they come and tell you, no, it's a chatzitza. Now again, remember, if it really, this whole thing of kovdosh al kli, by the way, in terms of poskening from here, I just realized, this whole issue, by the way, is not an issue for truma, it's only an issue for kodshim. So to learn halacha lamasa from this, we really wouldn't, because it's only for kodshim. So we're not that machmir, we're only that machmir when it comes to kodshim. So yeah, I just realized, the whole question isn't really relevant. Because the whole point is, this isn't really a chatzitza. It's just that because of the kovdosh akli, we're going to say it's a chatzitza, the inyan kodshim. If it was really a chatzitza, it would be a problem for truma also, and for everything else. Okay. Okay, and therefore it's tzricha. Rabbi Ila l'ta'ame, da'ama Rabbi Ila, so now we're going to say that Rabbi Ila, who says that it's mishum chatzitza, goes l'shitato, because he says in another place about our Mishnah, he says in Amar Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa, he says in the name of Chanina Bar Papa, Eser ma'alot shanukan. There's 10 ma'alot, there's 10, how do you translate ma'alot? Ways, what? You have a good word?
Heightened standards.
Okay, heightened standards. Where there's 10 ways in which Kodesh is higher than, or more chamor than Truma. How many are there? Eser, there's 10. Ah, now you have it. Remember I said there were 11? There's really 10 because two of them are chatzitza. Yes, it's true that they're a little bit of a different chatzitza, but both of them, if you talk about a nosei, this nosei, we're more machmir, it's chatzitza. Okay, and therefore he says there's 10 malot, and now he's going to make this distinction which everyone agrees with. Chamesh rishonot, bein lekodesh, bein lechulin, bein lekodesh, bein lechulin shenasu al tarat hakodesh. Achronot lekodesh, avalo lechulin shenasu al tarat hakodesh. What does this mean? The first five are a chomer for the kodesh, okay, and the first five really means 1 through 6 on our list. Those things are relevant for kodshim and for people who eat chulin as if they were kodshim. Okay? Yesterday we talked about, Rav Mary said that there's really no distinction. Anyone who treats it, right, it's as if it's kodshim. But according to this, there's certain chumrot that apply to kodshim that only apply to kodshim, and certain chumrot that apply also to people who eat chulin, al tarat hakodesh. So 7 through 11 are not considered things that you would have to keep if you were doing chulin al tarat hakodesh. Okay, now they're going to explain why. My taima, chamesh kamaita di'it luhu drora detuma mida'ohaita, gazru buhu rabbanan, bein lekodesh, bein lechulin shenasu al tarat hakodesh. But traita, the later ones, delay luhu drora detuma mida'ohaita, we'll explain what that is in a minute, gazru buhu rabbanan lekodesh, lechulin shenasu al tarat hakodesh, lo gazru buhu rabbanan. The first five, or six in this case, are things that are connected somehow, relate back to some sort of chiyuv me'atoha, whether it's chatzitza or right here midras or right the keeping thing right midras is really these two right either midras in that way or midras in the big day, the begadim are they considered midras? The chatzitza, the chorayim, and the toch and the beit hatzvita, like how things are nitma, those all have some connection to the. To midoraita. The later ones, the person struggle a little bit with this, why exactly these are related to midoraita and those aren't, okay? But the basic concept is the first five are connected somehow to the Torah And the last five are more gzerot that are marchike lechet. They're more out there. They're not as much connected to something said in the Torah. And therefore, if you're doing chulin al tarat hakodesh, you only have to be makpid on the ones that have some sort of connection to the Doraita and not the other ones. Okay, that's our first answer. So we dealt with our first answer, which is chatzitza. We tried to say, what do you mean it's chatzitza? There's another case of chatzitza. They say, no problem, you need each of them separately to say different types of chatzitza. Rava Amar, midaseifa havi mishum chatzitza, reisha la mishum chatzitza. He says, no, if the seif is mishum chatzitza, then the reisha certainly isn't chatzitza. It doesn't make any sense to say that that's the structure of this Mishnah. There's two cases of chatzitza. Maybe he was bothered by the order and the fact that they appear nowhere near each other. We don't know, but anyway, he says it's not possible. V'resha haynu tama gzera shelo yatbil machatzim v'tzinorot b'kli she'ein b'piv kishfoferet hanod. Okay, what is this? So we need a little background. Okay, the Kohen has a good picture here. I'll pass it around. The Kohen has a picture of what a shfoferet hanod is. A node is like a water carrier. They would generally take an animal. They would kind of take the skin of an animal, the hide of an animal, and they would make a water carrier out of it. Okay, you can see this guy has one right now, right there. Okay, and then you would use it as a water carrier. It's basically what we're talking about is a schluker. Okay, it's a schluker. Okay, what would he do? How would he drink from it? It's on his back, so he would take a straw. This is the right. They had schlukers those days. He would take some sort of a reed, poke a hole. Right, the thing that came to mind. I mean, this whole thing is like a schluker, but the thing that came to mind was those tropiot when you stick the straw in, right?
Yeah.
So you take this straw-type thing, you stick it in there, and from there you can get your water. Mm-hmm. Now, the opening of a shfoferet hanod, that's what it is. A shfoferet is a tube, and the node is this water carrier. Mm-hmm. So if you don't have an opening of shfoferet hanod, which we're going to get to exactly what this is, so let's say, what are we concerned about here? Let's say you have one kli your main kli is mostly closed. It has a very, very small opening, not as big as this straw that they would use. Okay? If it does, and inside that kli are very small items, obviously, because if the opening is so small, you can only fit small items in. Okay? Like a machat, a needle, or a tzinorot, these things that they used to sew, I think it was to sew gold or something. So if you had small kelim inside
someone
this kli...
Someone said the other day with the question of whether you can topple them inside in somebody's hair if you still touch
right,
them.
Right, exactly, we saw that there. So now, if you have this kli with a very, very small opening, and you put this kli in the mikveh, and you think that the inner kli is going to be toveled also, it's no good. Why? Because the opening is so small that the water, again, there's different ways of understanding this, but the general way of understanding is the water that gets inside this kli is no longer connected. It has to be connected with an opening, okay, a bigger opening. So if this opening is really small, then while it's true the needle is going to eventually get water in it and will be toveled in it, it's no longer connected to the arba'im se'ah. Now, clearly this kli isn't arba'im se'ah. So there's no mikveh that's really toveling this needle, because the water in there doesn't connect. Remember, we had this whole thing about connecting waters. And if someone's outside the mikveh, but their leg is still inside the mikveh, so we consider all that water connected. But here, since it's inside another kli, and the kelim are not, the kli isn't connected to the mikveh because the hole is so small, and we're going to see this with mikvahot in a second, that you need, if you want to connect mikvahot, you need to have a big opening. This size opening, a shfoferet hanod. Then, it's no good. So what do they say? We're not going to allow any kli inside a kli. Gzeira shema, that somebody might think that if they have a kli with a very, very small opening and then there's needles inside, that will be a good tefillah. Okay, now this,
saying that's really what the first piece is about.
That's why you can't put a kli inside a kli. Okay? So now we say, kiditznan, how do we know that this is an issue? A ruv mikvaot kishvoferet hanod keovya u kechalala b'shtei etzbaot chozrot limkoman. And what does that mean? If you want to connect two mikvahot, one mikvah doesn't have arba'im se'ah, okay, and the other one does, or maybe two mikvahot, neither has arba'im se'ah, and you want to connect them to make them consider that they're connected, that we could say this whole thing has arba'im se'ah. So you need to have an opening between the two, a hole that connects the two, as big as a shfoferet hanod, and what do they say? Like the thickness of the shfoferet itself, Because it's not just the hole, right? The Shofar HaNot has two parts. It's got the hole where you drink, right, the water comes through, and the tube itself. So it has to be the thickness of the tube itself and the space, okay? Which comes down to what they say, two etzba'ot chazrot l'mkomam. What does it mean, chazrot l'mkomam? Two fingers that you can turn your fingers around in. Okay, like two fingers like this is going to be narrower, right? If I stick two fingers, or if I try to twist them, it's going to be a little bit wider than that. That's the way they give the shiur. So it's two etzba'ot chazrot l'mkomam. And therefore, they're saying, just like it says in the Mishnah there, mikvah, that to connect two mikvahs, you need this amount of opening. Therefore, with a kli within a kli, you're going to need that amount of opening in the inner kli, in the outer kli, so that what's inside that kli will get tovolt and considered connected to the arba'im se'ah of the mikvah. And therefore, we're going to make a gzera. Now, we'll see later. It's not necessarily in any case. But in most cases, if you have a kli and you put inside another kli and you want to tovel them, that's no good. So that you won't come to do this. Okay, tomorrow we'll see, is it really in any case? We're going to see that there's a case, according to this, where you wouldn't be concerned. In other words, if the opening is so big, there's no, almost like it's a, we're going to see in a minute, and we'll see tomorrow. I was going to go on a little bit. I think we'll stop in one more minute. I'll just kind of give you a preview. Tomorrow we'll see that if the kli is so wide, like a wicker basket, which doesn't even have a closure, right? It's totally open. Then obviously you wouldn't have a problem to put it in. In which case, that also answers our question with when you put in the mikvah in a basket, right? You stick the basket and you put your stuff in the basket. Why is that not considered an issue? And that's because it's, according to this answer, it's wide open and there's no issue. Obviously, going back to what we said before, anyway, this was only an issue for kochim. Okay, so one more thing we're going to do, and then we'll finish. Savarla kahada amarav nachman amarav bravua. So now he holds, like, not last time we had that Rabbi Ila holds the shitato, because he said there were Esther Ma'alot Shanukan. But this guy holds like Rav Nachman, who said in the name of Rabbi Ravua, Achat Esrei Ma'alot Shanukan. There's 11 cases here. Shesh Rishonot Bein L'Kodesh Bein L'Chulin Shanasu Al Tarat HaKodesh. Achronot L'Kodesh Aval Lo L'Chulin Shanasu Al Tarat HaKodesh. Okay, so that's the difference. So he's going to say the first six. Again, they both say the first, right, the first six are going to be, right, 1 through 6 are going to be for even people who keep chulin al tarat hakodesh, and 7 through 11, which is exactly the same. That part matches up. Right. It's just a matter: is it 1 through 5 or is it 1 through 6? Right, but either number 5 is the same as number 1 and therefore not counted twice, or number 5 is listed as a separate one, and that's where we get to. Okay, and then we'll start tomorrow with Ma'ika ben Jereva ben the Rabbi Ila. And where is there going to be a case where there's a distinction, and that's going to be this case where you have an open sal, and then we'll get into that tomorrow.